Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Riley Hamilton.
And I'm Amy Scarlotta.
And this is Turtle Time Breaking News.
Amy.
Riley.
Oh, that was really nice.
A little sing-song action for this emergency 911.
Yeah, this is an emergency, right?
I think so.
Okay, so a little context here, just so everybody knows. It's actually March 15th when we're recording, right after Summer House came out last night.
Yep.
And it's officially the Ides of March.
I'm afraid.
Me too. Do you think, I mean, this sort of what Lindsay did on this episode of Summer House sort of had Ides of March energy, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Completely rogue.
She went, yeah, fully rogue. And did you have any suspicion? I know that what your dream was when we talked about Summer House on Wednesday, you said your dream was that nothing starts to hinder the full moral clarity we have that Lindsay is a full-blown villain.
Yeah.
You wanted that. You said straight to the goal line. Did you have any idea that already the next episode, she would almost have the exact same fight happen where she looks just as bad as she did two episodes ago?
Yeah, I didn't foresee that it would just be identical, that she'd learned nothing from the week before. I wish we had more football language to use. I saw in one of our comments someone called it a first down, which I think means you got part of the way.
Yeah, I think there's four downs before you have to give the ball up. But if she did a first down, you go further on the field, and so she, you keep having an opportunity to get to the goal line. Okay. So that was just a first down, right?
And then I do feel confident that we are going to get that touchdown.
Well, the touchdown is going to be when Carl goes to sit down with Lindsay, and they have another horrific miscommunication. Like whatever Lindsay hears Carl saying when he says stuff is going to warp in her mind to be, you're saying instantly right now you want us to break up and our wedding to be called off. It's like, we've already seen that Lindsay can't listen to Carl and can't hear him.
Yeah, it's almost a gift that she's given him though, because she could have been a different kind of manipulative and sort of apologized and then done the same thing again and then been like, no, baby, like, I'm sorry, like, come back to me. But she just like doesn't. So she made it very easy for him to clear his mind and realize that this was never going to change.
The easiest in history?
I think so. Like, I totally understand, like, it's the kind of the opposite of, like, Tom and Ariana until Scandal, obviously, but, like, where their relationship was just mid, and, like, neither of them were very happy, but they were just never going to leave because it was too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, it's just, like, she made it so bad
that
he was like, I literally cannot do this.
Yeah, I was like, has there ever been a less nuanced relationship that crumbled like this before our eyes, where it's just like, I'm sorry, I can't see one like thing on Lindsay's side, one point on Lindsay's side against Carl.
Right. But it's also like, she seems miserable too.
Right. She, in this episode, you see that she's sort of yawning at Carl and being like, oh God, can I get rid of this guy for a second?
Yeah.
We have to spend all our time together. And you're right. It's like, you don't enjoy this that much too. I guess in her mind, the not striving and not having a clear career goal is enough to make her be like, man, I don't want to deal with Carl for the summer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like the way that this episode starts, like they get there first and she's sort of sitting in that Adirondack chair.
Yeah.
And he comes out and he's like, what's up? Are we going to hang out? What are we doing? And she's like, and in her confessional, she's like, this feels like COVID all over again. We're together nonstop. I need my space. Which if it was anyone else, I would be like, yeah, I get that. But it's just weird because she, all last season, they were inseparable.
Right.
She couldn't get enough. She basically separated him from the group.
Yeah.
So it was very surprising, actually.
Yeah. I mean, so like, we don't know what it's like to date Carl. Right. You and I, either of us, right?
Can only imagine.
I can only imagine, but I imagine, I mean, I don't know if I'm just overestimating him, but I imagine it would be fun for the most part. And he treats Lindsay well. Mm-hmm. He's respectful. He's nice. I mean, we don't know, I guess, right? Definitively, yeah. But we feel like we've got a sense of him as a person. So it is shocking to be like Lindsay, for Lindsay to be like, I don't want to be around this person now, right? Like, yeah. She's averse to Carl's energy right. at this stage.
Yeah. I didn't expect that angle.
Me neither. She's like wanting, like, it's like she has, you know, the storyline in her mind of what she wanted this to be, which is like, Carl needs to get it together before the lead up to the wedding. Like her storyline for him was like, he needs to get a job because I'm at my wit's end. But then while that's her storyline, she's doing the worst shit in the world to him that is irrevocable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, so it's like, yeah, there's just two different, like, I guess her side of why she thinks the relationship is not going well would have never ended the relationship. She never had that as the end goal. She just wanted to make, you know, I don't know, Carl do something with his life at this point. She's trying to be frustrated. But meanwhile, Carl is dealing with the worst shit in the world that anybody has ever dealt with in a relationship.
Yeah, it's like, I wonder what she thought the outcome would be, because they just cannot get on the same page. And it's like, what is your goal here? Like, they do have a timeline of a wedding in however many months. So it's like, you kind of need to like deal with this. And at the end of this episode, Gabby even says like, you cannot get married in 6 months if this keeps happening. And Lindsay's like, I don't want to have that stupid fucking conversation. It's like, well, that's kind of like your life right now. Like,
it's the only conversation to have. Yeah. If you're having blowout fights every weekend that you're together, the only thing people are going to think about is how these are occurring very close to when you're supposed to get married. It's like when Schwartz and Katie were getting married.
Yeah.
And at their Bachelor and Bachelorette, people, Schwartz is crying about how upset he is. It's like, that's the only thing people are thinking.
Yeah.
This is the lead up to your wedding. This is representative. The stress you're having now is representative of all of the problems you're going to have for your entire relationship, even though it might be a little heightened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and also I think Gabby saying that to Lindsay at the end, not to skip ahead, but her saying specifically, you need to think about the wedding, it's letting Lindsay know that people were actively telling her, hey, this is a big, huge problem. The things you're dealing with now are very bad before the wedding. And she's pretending to the world that none of these rose to the occasion of her thinking that he would ever break up with her. When Gabby just said, think about this. Yeah. This is really bad.
Yeah, it's almost maybe a blessing that they did get engaged, because maybe if they weren't engaged, they would have just stayed together because they didn't. I mean, that's what we were trying to figure out when they first broke up. We were like, did they break up or did they call off the wedding? But I guess if you call off the wedding, it's probably a full-on breakup. But
When we first reported on, we were like, well, you know, maybe they just decided to like call it off. But no, I think the way Lindsay understood Carl in that conversation led her to push the detonation device on it and say, absolutely, this will never work, even though that might have not been Carl's intention.
Yeah.
I want to say something about the overall fights that they're having that Gabby says. I feel like Gabby has done a good job of being a sympathetic friend to Lindsay, but also telling her that what she's doing is absolutely awful and despicable and can never happen again. But they keep saying that it's a miscommunication issue, that they're having trouble communicating. Gabby says that you guys aren't listening to each other. But when I watch this, and I'm not a psychologist or whatever, a relationship expert, but it seems like Carl understands what Lindsay is saying. Lindsay does not understand anything that Carl is saying and even twists and turns his actual words and throws so much misinformation and red herrings and derails him to the point where when he's just saying very specifically what happened, he cannot get that across to her. That's not a problem. That's not a two-way street.
Yeah. I think we all agree that the word gaslighting has been generally overused since, like, I don't know, the past 5 years, but I've never seen I'm like, oh, that is what it, that is it.
Right.
Like, exactly it.
But then counter to that, I was like, this should be the end of gaslighting. Because when Lindsay accuses Carl of gaslighting, yes, it shows that no one actually knows what that means. And it's just sort of one knock against someone that you can get a point on right. them in any
it's just
argument.
When you don't agree.
Yeah.
You're like, you're gaslighting me because I don't agree. And I feel like it's the ultimate gaslighting move to yes. accuse someone else of gaslighting.
I know. But I think now, yeah. Carl is being gaslit, but yeah. it is so overused and misused now to where it just means nothing.
Yeah.
And I think Lindsay might have ended gaslighting for all
R.I.P.
time. It's just because no one really, I mean, people know what it means anymore, but the fact that we even have to like dissect
yeah.
who's using it correctly just means that it's so ubiquitous now yeah. that like it lost all of its meaning.
I feel gaslit listening to her because her lack of clarity mm-hmm. confuses me.
It does to me too.
Like, whenever she explains to people what happened, it makes absolutely no sense. There's no facts.
No.
Whereas like Carl, I'm like, I feel safe in your hands.
Yes.
There's like a timeline. He's like, we got into the lift. I asked you this question. You answered this way. I told you to stop swearing. Like the driver pulled over or whatever. Like, I'm like, I believe you.
Yeah.
When Lindsay starts talking, she's like, It confuses me.
Confuses me. She says different stories to different people. She immediately is trying to get her narrative out before anyone else, before Carl can get his.
Yeah. And it's all just vibe based.
Yeah.
Like she's like, he got very aggressive. Like he was just like making me, treating me horribly. And it's like, well, what happened?
Yeah. Right. And you can't believe her. I mean, I hate to say it. I don't believe her version of events. One, because she's drunk as a skunk,
yes.
which Carl keeps saying.
Every time.
And she tells different versions of what happened and inflates it for different people. She tells yeah. Kyle a different story than she told Gabby.
Without detail.
She told Amanda with different details. So, I mean, and everyone, and also the first time had witnesses where I believe Kyle. Yeah. Kyle would never just lie for Carl and Jesse, whoever else was in the car. They would never just lie for
also,
Carl.
Carl, like, wants this shit to work. Like, right. he's not starting fights. Like, he's really not.
Can we talk about how Carl has been the one to have to approach Lindsay three separate times to get her to talk about these things and to apologize to her first before yeah. she apologizes to him? Three times now. He yeah. had to bring her over on the beach and talk about their horrible, horrible mm-hmm. fight. And then in this, he had to be the one to approach her to have a deep talk at the dock. And then when they get home, after not having a successful conversation, he walks into the room and he says, I'm sorry, Lindsay.
I literally screamed, for what?
I know. Well, let's get into it. I mean, we can skip over whatever you'd like. You know, the West and Sierra stuff is obviously amazing, and there is something yeah. I want to touch on. But really, this whole episode was the Carl and Lindsay aftermath.
Yeah. I liked the Carl and Kyle heart-to-heart about the sports bar.
Yes.
Because I feel like Kyle said exactly what we said.
He did.
Where he was like, even if she doesn't agree, you know, she should, you know, work with me here. Like,
yeah.
let's talk about it. And Carl says that, you know, he feels like she's not listening to what's important to him. And that she took the wind out of his sails, which I agree. Like I said before, I'm like, you know, maybe they will together come to the conclusion through her advice that it's a bad idea to do something like that, or like mm-hmm. too much of a risk or whatever, which is fine. But at least, especially if you're trying to, what you want from him is for him to feel confident in his next steps and to like figure out what he wants to do, then like let him be a man, not to be like, let him be like, respect your man or whatever, but it's like, let him have confidence in his idea
yeah.
and like make him feel like
yeah.
he's on the right track, or like give him advice on like a different version that would work or whatever. It's just like she belittled him.
Yeah, for sure. And he didn't get a chance to fully say the rest of his dream because she nipped it in the bud early.
Yeah,
there could have been a lot more there. He also said that Lindsay's advice is to not pigeon yourself as a sober man, to yeah. like allow for more avenues, to not just speak on one thing, which I think is like, I don't know, PR, I guess PR advice or something. It does. I don't know why Carl.
But I think that's smart to be like a niche,
yes.
especially in the Bravo world. Like
yeah.
there's only a handful of sober Bravo celebrities.
Yes.
So it's like, what's wrong with that pigeonhole?
Right. And it means a lot to him. It means yeah. a lot to him. And she should have known that that meant a lot to him. And it took a lot of vulnerability for him to speak up about it. But again, for me, that it's a bummer But that if that was what they were going through this entire season to the lead up to the wedding, I give that like a 4 out of 10 versus what they're dealing with every single night when they're having chaotic fights. That's more, to me, it's more admissible or permissible that Lindsay had that view. It's like, okay, she was harsh to him or whatever. Yeah. But that's like, that's a more normal relationship problem for me that could be reconciled towards the end. The fact that this other 10 out of 10 train wreck is going on at the same time is so much more important.
Yeah. And then like she, on this next dinner, everyone, a lot of them are ordering martinis, which she does as well, but she guzzles it.
I know.
I've like never drank a martini that fast in my life.
I told you, and I think I've said it on Turtle Time, I've never even, I think, had a martini in my life, and I'm still waiting for you and I to go to Musso and Frank's.
We gotta get that on the books.
Let's do it.
I mean, for our 1 year anniversary.
We should.
Let's make the reservation before I leave today.
Can we?
Let's do it.
Okay, that sounds so good. And to honor what a wonderful time we're having just in life, the Ides of March.
We should have made the reservation on the Ides of March, but it's okay.
Well, I want to say before we get into this, because I find this dinner scene to be so sad for what you're going to say. I know you're going to talk about it. It starts there. So first, when the boys get into the house before this dinner, Carl is having some fun camaraderie with the boys, and they make this sort of joke about like that the boys are back in town or whatever, and they have this sort of parody of guys, like male camaraderie, and they start growling, and then Carl does this big, deep bark, and it's really funny. It's like, it's just, he's being doing a bro.
He's unencumbered.
Unencumbered and a fun bark. And Jesse's like, whoa, that was a deep bark. And they're like, Carl's barking. Like, it's just so funny and sweet and endearing. And like the boys like it. West and Jesse, like everyone loves it. So then when Lindsay gives her toast, she goes ding 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 ding. And she says, you know, I wanna give a toast to the camaraderie here. Yeah. And specifically
Jesse goes,
"See Rod?" Yeah. Jesse goes, "See Rod, I hope he barks." They are loving Carl. Like they're a champion of Carl, which is so sweet. And anyway, and then Lindsay says specifically again, it's like a toast to West, basically. Yeah. She's like, "And I gotta say, the boy energy is like really killing it," or whatever she says. And then the boys start growling. And Carl does his bark again. He goes, "Hoo, hoo, hoo, hoo." Yeah. And then Wes goes, you hear Carl barking, and it's just so sweet and innocent. And then that's when Lindsay cuts him down and embarrasses him again and says, I don't want to hear Carl bark because I might give the ring back to him. And then the whole mood and energy is just fully deflated. And Carl looks down. He's embarrassed. He just did a fun bark with the boys. And
I wish he would have been like, fuck you.
I know. And then Kyle does a classic what?
And everyone, like Gabby sort of like whips her head. Like everyone like looks down. It was like being at like parents, like dinner with your parents who are like about to get divorced.
Yeah.
Like, awkward.
It's so awkward. And this is now, Lindsay has a pattern of embarrassing Carl when he shows a spark of life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's a bad sign.
She did it after basketball when he was trying to be funny about saying babe over and over again. And then this is another instance where, like, I guess he's like showing, a little bit
Which is why I knew that speech was bullshit. It felt manipulative. I know that I just like am in the tank to be against everything that she says, but I was like, you're not part of it. So why are you trying to like make it part, your part? Like, I'm like, you have not contributed to the vibe, so don't do a toast to the vibe.
True. Very true. She was the wrong person to toast. I don't know why Lindsay wanted to put ownership on that, but I felt it was Lindsay's version of what Paige did last episode, where she was just like commenting specifically on Wes. I mean, Jesse's killing it too. I'm not going to disparage Jesse.
No, I'm like on board because he is strong in his opinion of help trying to defend Carl, which like I like that he feels bold, emboldened to have that level of commentary this early on.
Me too.
Because the thing with all the past guys, why they kind of flopped is because they kind of minded their business.
Yes.
And it was boring.
Yes. But also he's invested in a way that feels organic. He was reserved for the first couple episodes before he knew the dynamics. But once he's like seeing what it is with his own eyes, he is voicing his strong opinion that he says in the car, he goes, I'm sorry, I'm Team Carl. That boy needs our back right now. And it's very sweet. I mean, we give a lot of credit to West, but I want to say say Jesse is also killing it. Even hubris, his ego. I'm like, I'm fine with it.
No, I like that he's like already in the mix. And like he was telling Gabby, she's like, oh, you talked to Carl about what happened? He's like, yeah. And Gabby was like, is he okay? And he goes, he's not okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yes, yeah. Speak on it. But yeah, so she humiliates him at dinner and then they kind of gave her a bad cut. After she guzzles a martini, she orders another one. They show her knock it over, which could happen to anyone. But I was like, wow, you're an absolute mess.
You're like a sloppy. They left it in for a reason. You're a sloppy drunk.
She was like, oops.
Yeah. And I want to say that so Carl, like, not to underestimate what that did to Carl's self-esteem and how embarrassed it made him. Lindsay later says she was when they have their fight, their huge fight in the lift that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
She says, your mood was completely, whatever she says, your mood was completely down at dinner. Like, and so you were taking your bad mood on me. And then I was like, his bad mood was because you fully embarrassed him. And she doesn't even remember that she did that to him.
Yeah, she accuses him of shutting down at dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You shut down at dinner. It's like, why did he do that, Lindsay? Because you embarrassed him in front of everyone at the table.
And said, shut him down.
It said that you would break off your engagement because he barked for 5 seconds.
Yeah. So then, I mean, yeah, they got to get cameras in these freaking lifts.
Well, they couldn't. I was fully ready to say, producers, what the hell are you doing? All the SUVs should be camera'd out for all the rest of time. This one, though, they can't account for when they're going out. The cameras go down and they just got an ordinary lift. I don't think Carl can just keep GoPros on him, you know, and be like, hold on 1 second. I got
to
put
a GoPro. He needs to for his safety, though.
Like, yeah.
He needs like a body cam.
But it's very like I feel very comforted. Knowing that, or I guess I feel very much like I know Carl is saying the truth, where in a lot of other instances, I would want the footage to know what really happened. Yeah. But I just think we can be rest assured that Carl is giving the right version
because she acts the same way that he said on camera. So it makes sense.
So Amanda went home and she thought she was going to have sort of a fun pajama party night eating ramen.
She was so happy. She was like, la 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 la, with like her like zit cream on and like eating like mac and cheese.
She really was ready to just like have a nice night alone with only the CCTV camera. She had no idea who was going to come back. Like, I really felt like that was not at all like she was like trying to overemphasize the like the sleepy, you know, girl vibe or whatever. She's
a true bed bug. I love when she was like, they could just go to dinner. Like, they didn't even do anything. She was like, I'm on my last leg. And Kyle's like, you only have two. Like, please. Like, but he's like, whatever. I like that he doesn't really care. He's like, do you?
But then, you know what? I mean, to the bed bug haters or whatever, which I know there are some out there. I don't know how you could ever be a bed bug hater and not like Sierra, Paige, and Amanda. That's a journey I would never go on. The fact that Amanda was ready to be a pivotal scene partner, you know, to use that terminology, but like, she was ready there cooking ramen to have a great scene with Lindsay. It's like, you need someone there to be back. She wasn't out of the loop there.
Right.
She was vital to this whole thing and getting that information out.
Yeah. So we see Carl enter the house first and then it takes a minute, but Lindsay comes in. So he definitely walked ahead of her.
She goes, can you unzip me, babe?
And he goes, no, I can't. And she's like, Jesus Christ, should I sleep in another room? That's up to you. And he's pissed. Yeah. He says, you're accusing me of doing drugs again. She denies it. He's like, it's so fucked up. You can't accuse me of doing drugs. And if you can't admit that, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, do you smoke weed?
Yeah.
And she's like, you're the biggest gaslighter I've ever met. You're like Sandoval right now. And he like laughs. Like, he's like, I can't fucking believe this.
And then he gets up. He was laying in bed, ready to put his head on the pillow, and maybe they could have had the night in the same room. But hearing that he's Sandoval was a bridge too far for him.
That's and like insane.
Also, it's again, I think we already talked about this. It's a low blow, an unnecessary low blow, just meant to hurt him.
Yeah.
Which I want to say the Watch What Happens Live comment that like made me the saddest watching it, just to wedge it in here. Carl, with all this time that he's had, the 6 months or 8 months since this film to like process this, I think he said something like he doesn't legitimately think that Lindsay ever questioned his sobriety, even though she said it 100 times. He thinks she was just saying all these things to hurt him.
Yeah.
And he was like, And why she wanted to hurt me, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is, that's like, what a realization.
Yeah.
It's not about anything else other than hurting him.
Yeah. It's just like the lowest blow, the easiest, like, Achilles heel.
Yeah.
You know?
And I want to say, when she's talking about the weed stuff, so this is a new angle of the drug accusation. It's the same thing that she said 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago in their timeline. But she's now trying to say that when Carl questions her drinking, she immediately wants to put it back on him that he does an illicit substance or whatever. Not even illicit substance. It does a mind-altering substance,
yeah,
and brings into weed. Even though Carl says, you know I smoke weed.
Yeah.
So why would that be something that you would use to, right, against me?
Right. Yeah. It also felt, you know, it sounds like it sucks that she makes him talk publicly about, like, I'm sure there's certain,
I don't know,
like, certain people probably in AA, like, are against smoking weed. Like, I'm sure that's not something he necessarily needed to talk about publicly.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously between them, it's, like, agreed upon that it's okay. And he said that him and his sponsor are okay with it or whatever. So it felt like a low blow to bring that up, yeah, also.
Yeah. And also, it is the third version of what she says she's saying when she says the worst thing in the world. She added a new reason,
yeah,
a rationale,
yeah,
for why she says this thing.
Yeah. So it's like, are you saying that you think that weed makes Carl aggressive?
Right.
Like, it's kind of irrelevant. Like, what are you talking about? And I mean, obviously it's just because she feels judged by him, because when she's wasted, she acts horribly. And he goes, like, let's not talk about this while you're drunk, or like, how dare you accuse me while you're drunk? And she feels judged,
yeah,
and she thinks that that's okay to say, well, if he's gonna question my drinking, I can question his. And it's like, no, but like, you are fucked up. Like, you know that you're fucked up right now. So what leg do you have to stand on? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And I wanted to bring this up, like, I don't know anyone who will defend Lindsay except Trishelle or whatever her name is on Watch What Happens Live. I don't know what the hell she was thinking. That, like, we asked, is there one Stan?
I mean, her pink eyeshadow speaks for itself.
Okay. Well, good. Yeah, I don't know anything about her, so I don't want to, like, disparage her, but I was just like, what the hell? Like, you honestly watched that and you side with Lindsay? But anyway, I don't
remember. Well, then, like, Lindsay goes further and further with, like, the character disparaging.
Yes.
She says, because Amanda's there, and Amanda's like, what the hell is going on? She's, like, totally, like,
yeah,
stressed out by this, because they're, like, running around the house, like, fighting.
Right.
And she tells Amanda, he's the biggest gaslighter I've ever met. Everyone wants to pin everything on me, which is a big, her big thing that she keeps saying this episode. She says that Carl is a fucking terrorist.
Terrorist.
She says, you know, she tries to explain what happened. It makes no sense whatsoever. She says that he's switching the narrative. And then she is trying to be nice, but is totally, like, yeah, ruining his, like, reputation. She says, he's the greatest human being ever, but he has his demons. He's like Jekyll and Hyde. And she is the only one to see the bad side. Like, she's making it out to seem like, you don't know what I see at night.
Yeah.
Like, he's a monster.
I mean,
and I think that her version of that is him being upset with what she did.
Yes. No, I mean,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I think it's almost more shocking to me that Lindsay is telling Amanda that there's some dark, evil side of Carl that she's never seen before, that only Lindsay has seen. So it's like, you're trying to ruin his reputation,
yeah,
with a friend of his in the house.
Yeah.
Like, that is an awful, awful accusation.
Yeah.
You're trying to, like, justify your shitty behavior by saying you have no idea the monster that rears his head when you're not around. And only I, there's no other witnesses, only Lindsay in the 10-year history.
Hearsay.
It's that was to me awful, and I don't know if it's been discussed enough yet. A Jekyll and Hyde? I mean, she's leaving Amanda to make what's that called? Like, to think for herself, what the fuck?
Well, luckily, Amanda hates Lindsay deep inside and doesn't believe a word she says.
Right, but it's still, if it was Gabby, if you said that to Gabby,
you can tell she has nowhere to turn, which by the end of the episode, she literally has to flee the house because no one will agree with her.
Yes.
Like, everyone's like, nope.
Well, Amanda is doing fine. I honestly think Amanda is doing a good job for someone who does not believe what someone is saying, but like giving them enough, ambiguous feedback to continue them to keep going. But you're right. Lindsay has to storm out of the house. The thing I was going to say that I forgot after I started to rant about Trishelle was that do you think at all, like, not devil's advocate, but just thinking in Lindsay's head for 1 second to try to justify this, do you think a part of this is that Lindsay feels sort of guilty for continuing to drink excessively in Carl's presence? And that's leading her to have this wounded animal syndrome whenever he talks to her about drinking.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she's probably self-conscious about it because, like I said, it's like it's okay. You feel better getting wasted with other people who are getting wasted. But if the person you're with is completely sober and can see clearly the way you're acting, it's like embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I just didn't know if that was like, maybe that would lead like give some rationale.
Yeah. But it also seems like she's drinking more. Like, this situation is like a, you know, self-perpetuating cycle where she's drinking more to deal with the damage. And so, like, she just like never stops drinking. And like, he reveals, like, he's like, she has 3 rosés before we even get to the house.
Yeah. He like, when he finally wants to give the tally, you can tell that he notices how much, you know, she's been drinking throughout the day. And he says, throughout the episode, he says, I don't have an issue with her drinking.
Yeah.
I have an issue that she gets very irrational and aggressive when she's drinking.
Yeah.
And that's where
we've known.
Yeah. And that's why we have issues. It's like, this would not be a problem if Lindsay had 6 rosés and was fun and happy and sweet to him. She becomes irrational. And even Kyle says that to Lindsay's face.
Yeah.
You were highly irrational last weekend when you accused Carl of doing drugs.
Yeah.
She's like, she's heard this now from multiple people.
Right. Which is why it's strange that she decided to get like lit again this weekend,
right?
Because it's like, you know, whatever. I'm never going to judge anyone for wanting to party at the summer house.
And
like,
I'm
that's
not
the point.
And I'm not either.
But if weekend one or whatever, you get fucked up and get in a horrible fight with your boyfriend, that like kind of wasn't really resolved, like you guys decided to move on, but whatever. You come back the next weekend and decide to do it the exact same way.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're going to say, I'm going to chill a little bit this weekend. I'm just going to have like some wine with dinner or like whatever. I'm going to cool it. I'm not going to chug martinis.
Yeah.
And then like double down, because it's like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. And then you said it last week, or you said it at some point. It's like, Lindsay, like, she should know that she's not a reliable narrator after she's had 6 martinis. And that's not speaking ill of anyone. We all would lose memories or not have an accurate read on a situation if you're drunk as hell. It's like not even a big deal to say that.
No, if anything, it's like a get out of jail free card. Yes. You can just be like, oops, sorry.
That's why I said, I mean, use it as an excuse. Yeah, like, she should have.
And he would have been like, that's okay, I understand.
Yeah. I don't know how quickly you want to go. I wanted to talk about the pool scene.
Yeah.
I don't know if I missed anything in there that you highlighted
with the boys
before. Yeah, I mean, it's well, I don't know. Is there anything you wanted to touch on before?
Not really. I'm a little confused by Danielle's stance in this episode. I mean, she kind of is just like, I don't want to deal with this, or like, it's not my place. So I guess she's just sort of keeping herself out of it.
So my theory, or I think this is just legitimate, is that Danielle got so much blowback from Danielle, or from Lindsay, and also from Hub House stands, whoever the hell those people, where are you guys now?
Yeah.
she got so much blowback for how she interfered in their relationship, even though we would argue it wasn't interfering. It was being sad at the loss of two friends who aren't keeping you in the relationship. So it's like full-blown, this should be vindication for Danielle. Yeah. I mean, we didn't even talk about that. But I think she knows now that things are good with Lindsay. She still loves Lindsay so much, which is beguiling. But that she knows that if she gets into it, she will sacrifice losing her friends again because everyone made her feel like shit for getting involved last time. So she's actively one of the only people that I would actually care to actually intercede in here and vacillate between them. But Danielle, because of the blowback, doesn't want to put herself in that position anymore. Yeah. So season 7 ended up being bad. She learned from season 7, but I think she learned the wrong lesson from the reaction to season 7.
Yeah, I did like at the end there when Lindsay tries to vent to Kyle and Danielle, she just goes, I'm going to excuse myself. I was like, good, she doesn't deserve your shoulder.
No. Yeah, but I felt like she was excusing herself just more like I don't want to add anything to this.
Like, I don't want to be judged.
Yeah. Your theory that Danielle's first time hearing that Lindsay threw her under the bus and blamed the leak on her, it could really be true now because the fact that Paige was gone, I don't know if Paige would wait a week that she was gone to then just bring up this random thing. And also, Paige isn't a shit stirrer for no reason.
Right.
So there's a little chance that...
That would be so exciting. Maybe Paige will save it as a bomb when, like, Lindsay's acting really poorly.
Yeah, like,
and, like, maybe Danielle will start to defend Lindsay and Paige will be like, well, guess what? She fucking told me that you're a, like, gossip blog leaker.
Do you think now, what Danielle's loyalty to Lindsay, I'll never underestimate it again, but do you think she now, in this era, with the public feedback and watching these four episodes, she's starting to second guess her friendship to Lindsay at all?
I hope so.
I mean,
as of that first Watch What Happens, she was still standing by her and was like, it was shocking to see, but she was acting like it was their relationship, not just Lindsay.
I mean, she had seen the episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. They should have her on again. I want to see.
Yeah.
So then there's like another little moment where Carl tries to get the door for Lindsay because she's carrying drinks and she goes, I got it, thanks. And he slams it and everyone sort of jumps. Like, everyone's like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah. Again, I didn't even count this one. That was Carl being sweet to Lindsay and giving an olive branch.
He tried. And then she was like, it was like, with the water. Like, it was like, but reverse, I guess.
It's testing how the partner, like, how big they're, how mad they are still.
It's like, here's a water. I don't want it. Can you zip me? No. Can I get the door for you? No.
Yeah. But why Carl had to go back to Lindsay to, like, be sweet to her in that instance is shocking.
Yeah.
And then they're all having fun again. And I don't want to take away from how much fun this episode of Summer House also was, because we're like, we're talking about this relationship that is, you know, horrible and all these fights or whatever, but there's so many fun moments in this episode too.
Sierra and West in the background just being cute. Apparently they made out.
Where's the chemistry meter now after Wednesday's episode?
It looks good, but I don't think they're gonna end up together.
Okay, well, end up together, married
or dating.
I thought I mean, he's licking her face.
Yeah.
There was makeout. And I want to say, we won't probably talk about this again, but West didn't say that him and Sierra made out a bunch in the car. Kyle said that, and other people said it, but West was not kissing and telling a lot. But then when Lindsay goes up to Sierra, Lindsay goes, so I heard you made out all night last night.
Yeah.
As if West had been talking in the bus and telling them all about it.
Yeah.
And that's when Sierra said, I don't like kiss and tell guys. I'm going to keep my distance from him. I felt really bad for West because he wasn't really blabbing, except in the car with Sierra one time.
Lindsay blew it.
Yeah, she blew it again. So then they're all having fun. Well, Carl's not having fun. And then everyone goes to get ready, but just the boys are talking to Carl. And Jesse goes, I just wanted to check in with you, Carl, because, you know, you guys haven't spoken today at all.
Yeah.
And then Carl tells the boys what's going on. And he has the same version of events that we've talked about where he starts to retell the story. And then he goes, it's very sad because she says, what are you on? And he goes, I'm sober, Lindsay. And she goes, you're a liar. And then he says, I'm not going to lie right now to you guys. It's going to make me cry a little bit going over this.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. He looks away.
Yeah. And yeah, Kyle's like, I'm sorry, buddy. And he's like, I don't know why she's going there. And he's like, this is how she acts when she's drunk. And Kyle's like, she is highly irrational.
Yes.
And I did love this little fire. I was like, he's back, baby. Yeah. He goes, if she wants old Carl, I'll burn this house down. I'll have 15 lover boys and we'll have a real conversation.
I loved it so much.
And he throws a can. He's pissed.
Yeah. It was like the end of a Game of Thrones episode, but it didn't happen at the end. He said, I'm going to burn this motherfucker down if she calls me old Carl one more time. And I love that he knew exactly how many lover boys it would take before 15. He burned the fucking house.
I know. 15. He was like, I'll smoke a fucking crack pipe and then we'll talk. Yeah, like, yeah.
I love that he said lover boy. Like, he added a fucking awesome brand name that Kyle would love for this iconic quote.
I'm saying. What I said on the first episode or whatever, the first time she accused him, I'm like, if Carl's going to get fucked up, he's going to get fucked up and we're going to know.
I thought it was a wild, amazing threat that he said, you want to see old Carl? I'll burn this fucking summer house down. It was, and then he throws his little can of bubbly away.
Yeah. I loved that because I was like, that's good that he's like in his body, like. I'm very pleased that he's standing up for himself throughout this because he very easily could have just been like, okay.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then, so then they go to that whatever day drinking place.
Cow feet?
Cowfish.
Oh yeah. Cowfish.
Lindsay has rosé before they go.
Yeah.
And then, Kyle and Amanda have a little walk and talk, which, you know, I thought they were going to talk more shit about Lindsay and Carl, but it kind of turned into their relationship conversation,
which is kind of strange to me because Carl goes, hey, have you talked to Amanda about what I've been going through? And he goes, let me check in with her. Mm-hmm. And then he just says, hey, Carl and Lindsay have been actually doing a great job communicating. I really am taking some lessons from them on our relationship. And I was like, that's right. Not what Carl said to go check in with Amanda right. about.
Yeah, I know. I wanted her to give her version of the night before because she was the only one that was home.
And I think even Amanda was taken aback that Kyle was using this opportunity to talk about their relationship because she didn't seem to be prepared to have that conversation and didn't want whatever right. his resolution was going to be, which is that they should go to couples therapy.
Yeah, she said, it's not it for me right now. And yeah. I was kind of like, what? Like, I feel like anyone who ever brings up going to couples therapy, you should just go. Like, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah, because it's a sign that your partner really wants it. Yeah. But then she said, I think she said, I'm PMSing. And she said, have this conversation with me again, and I'll probably say yes. I think she just didn't want to have that conversation right then. And I don't think she thought Kyle was going to bring up their relationship in this scene right then.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, hopefully you're just like being flippant about it in the moment because I do think they should go.
Yeah.
And then Carl finds Lindsay. She's sitting on the grass. He leans down and it's awkward. They go to talk. Mm-hmm. And this is gnarly.
Yeah. yeah. This is a gnarly fight. It's basically, they immediately go from 0 to 100 within 2 seconds, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she says that she not once accused him of doing drugs. She says that he wasn't communicative. He was aggressive. He is getting pissed. He's like, that is not fair. He explains what happened in a very clear-headed way.
Yeah.
And she accuses him, this is like the most gaslighting shit ever, of changing the narrative, which I was like, who talks like that?
Yeah, it's like PR speak. And yeah. She's already said this before. She said it to Amanda that Carl likes to change the narrative, but the only person that's changing narratives is her.
Yeah.
And trying to create new ways to fight with Carl by saying different stuff that he doesn't have an answer to.
Yeah. She's like planting seeds. Like, she's like, you've been angry a lot. Let's not pretend you're the most calm person ever. And he's like, I'm not. Like, I'm upset right now. And he accuses her of gaslighting.
Yeah.
And she is like, it's okay for you to judge me for drinking, but not for me to question if you smoke weed. And he's like, but I said I didn't, and you called me a liar. I will not allow that.
Yeah.
Like, he's standing his ground so strongly. I Love it.
Yeah, I love it too. And he's also letting her know, finally, because I don't think they talked about this the first time they fought, that what it means when she accuses him of not being sober. He's finally telling her over and over again that that's so hurtful.
Yeah. And it's also, again, if you're going to go toe-to-toe, she's either drunk, mm-hmm. hungover, or hungover and drunk. Yeah. And I'm like, you're not going to have the best outcome in these very serious conversations if you keep rolling up to them like five rosés deep.
Yeah. And she's also saying when Carl gets upset and raises his voice, she starts to make that a new issue in their relationship that they have to like derail to talk about. When he's saying, I have every right to be really upset about yeah. something that you're doing now. But she tries to make that like, if you talk to me like this, your tone is so off. I can't listen to you. Yeah. Even though she's allowed to scream at right. him and get really aggressive and swear at him.
Yeah. But that's like a great example of like that we can believe him because we're watching the conversation happen. He's animated. He's pissed. He's like kind of raising his voice, but like not anything crazy.
No.
And she goes, this is how you were treating me last night. And so me as a viewer, I'm like, oh, this is how he was treating you last night? Like, then I know what your yeah. perception is because right. it's fucking off.
Yeah. And then, so she, my takeaway is that it's really hard to tell Lindsay how you feel. And then even more so, it's really hard to fight with her and because the minute you start to get upset because she's invalidating everything you're saying or won't listen to you, then you get upset to raise your voice because you're angry with how she's treating you. She says, that's a bridge too far. I'm going to leave now and not talk to you. And that's why I didn't want to have this conversation. So unless the argument is fully within her terms, which the first apology he did to Lindsay on the beach was all she wants. She mm-hmm. wants not talking about the issue that actually hurt Carl the most.
Yeah.
He didn't bring up the drug accusation. He just said, I was in the wrong place and didn't speak to you right or whatever. Mm-hmm. So now anything that's about his version and what he wants to convey, she won't allow him to have that. There's yeah. so many rules around how he can talk to her about it. And she makes the message so convoluted that you don't even know what accusation you're arguing against right. with her.
Yeah. She, yeah, at the end of the talk, she's accuses him again of changing the narrative. And she says, this is why I knew you weren't ready for a conversation. Yeah. And she like wanders off and she just like muttering under her breath, he's screaming at me again. I yeah. can't. And then she tries to engage with Kyle and Danielle. And she's like, he just screams at me constantly.
Yeah. Which then she already planted the seed in Amanda's head that he's a Jekyll and Hyde who screams at her all the time. So then when she says he screamed at me, she knows that Amanda already has that reference that Lindsay made in her head to like add more validity to the yeah. things that Lindsay says.
Yeah. Well, luckily Kyle doesn't believe a word she says. He's like, he was screaming.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, Carl doesn't want to make this all about your drinking, but you get really irrational when you're drinking. And he's trying to be like,
she says, when was I irrational? Like as if she's never been irrational in her life. And Kyle says, I would say you were wildly irrational last weekend. And Lindsay shuts down immediately when yeah. he says that. It's like any proof that she was wrong that is delivered to her by a unbiased party. She goes, you're in the tank for Carl. I'm leaving now.
Yeah.
Everyone's against me. It's like, you can't talk to her yeah. about anything.
Yeah. And then Carl goes over to like Amanda and people. And Amanda's like, yeah, I mean, we've all experienced this with her. So we understand.
But in the most diplomatic way. Like, I just want to say, like, yeah. Kyle and Amanda are like pillars of diplomacy in the way they're talking to Lindsay. They are so on edge about like being on Carl's side or saying anything that will piss Lindsay off that they're both being deferential to Lindsay and giving her the benefit of the doubt as much as they can while trying to tell her what is really going on.
Yeah. Kyle tells Lindsay, you're a more vocal person than Carl. So like, trust me, I know where you stand because you make it known. Like right. it's harder for Carl to like stand up for himself and make noise.
That's why I think that they're all the boys are just so shocked when Carl is pouring his heart out by the edge of the pool, you know, about to cry about how hurt he is.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I love Lindsay turning to every corner, trying to find someone that will be like, oh my God, yeah. that's crazy. And everyone's like, no.
I'm kind of surprised she didn't call in Danielle from the sidelines and say, Danielle, have I got a whopper of a story for you? I'm with Hyde, Mr. Hyde, not Dr. Jekyll. Yeah. And count on Danielle's loyalty to run rampant in the house and like almost fight for her. But right. She doesn't have that relationship with Danielle.
Because she fucked it up.
She fucked it up. And Gabby is not, I mean, props to Gabby.
Yeah.
She's not doing Lindsay's bidding. No. She's actually being sympathetic, but pushing back, which is nice, which I really like.
Yeah, when they get back to the house, she's like in bed with Gabby crying, and she's like, why can't we figure out how to communicate? And then Carl comes back, so she leaves the room, they go to a different room, and Gabby's like, did you say he wasn't sober last night?
Dear God. Why the hell did you say that again?
Yeah. And then Carl comes into that room. She shuts the bathroom door. He goes, Lindsay, I'm sorry. Again, for what? And then he leaves. Gabby tells her, she's like, you guys really need to figure out how to communicate better. And she's like, don't you think I'm trying or I want that or whatever? And she's like, okay, but, you know, you can only control your side of the street. Like, it's on you to understand your partner and, like, how to talk in a way that he understands or whatever. And she goes, everything is always on me. Like, I think she has a grave misunderstanding of what a relationship is. And that, like, sometimes you kind of, like, need to, like, eat shit to, like, be with someone else. And, like, you have to just, like, swallow your pride sometimes.
Yeah, I think that she thinks that, like, the other issues that she's trying to bring to light in her and Carl's relationship, which are very low level compared to what they're actually dealing with, justifies that, like, she's allowed to be angry with him about these little things. Like, it's almost like, what's that? Like, it is, like, 50-50 in her mind. And why do I always have to do this? Even though we've seen countless times that Carl is the one that goes back to her and apologizes.
Yeah.
Why does Carl just keep apologizing to her because he knows this will never be resolved if he isn't the first one to try to talk,
like,
about it?
Wants the swords put down, because it's just like, I mean, it was because she locked herself in the bathroom, so it was like then she was in control because she was like, I'm not gonna talk to you.
Yeah.
So
and then Gabby says what Lindsay said was never uttered around her once, that no one ever would have ever assumed that. Carl might have not wanted to get married to her this summer at all. Because Gabby says, if you're having these issues, how the hell are you having these issues and getting married in 4 months? Lindsay says, I do not want to talk about that stupid conversation. And she leaves.
She weasels through the gates and then, like, wanders into the woods.
Yeah, she goes out into the woods. Where did this rank, like, with the shock of episode 2 when we witnessed that and we were like, I can't believe this is happening? Is this on par with that in terms of how shocked you are at the Lindsay and Carl dynamic this season?
I mean, obviously the first time was truly shocking because I couldn't believe she even went there.
Yeah.
So this time we already knew that she was capable.
Yeah.
But it was crazy that she did it again. But yeah, like I said, I'm like, keep going, baby.
Keep going, baby. Lindsay, got it. You've got the ball. No one is near you. You are running for the finish line.
I do enjoy that. I'm excited for Paige to come back because I hope that there's a whole scene of everyone being like, can you fucking believe this?
I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Craig to say, what happened?
Yeah.
What the hell's been going on in this summer house?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's now Lindsay has set the stage to where I don't know what the hell else she's going to do this season. I mean, this seems to not even barely be registering for her that this is that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like, this is just, she's like, yeah, we're having some trouble, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And, like, what else is going
to
happen?
What happens when they go back to the city every week?
I have no clue.
And they, after all of this, they still signed that lease.
Yeah. I mean, I know. I'm shocked, and this, I don't know what else is going to happen. I don't know how it can get much worse, but I don't doubt that Lindsay can make it worse.
Yeah. I know. It's exciting to imagine the ways that I can't even fathom.
And I think the only reason why I'm like deriving, like, enjoyment from the drama of this is just knowing that on the other end of it, Carl is so much happier and knowing that it's very much clear why Carl made this decision now. And it's the best thing for him. And honestly, I mean, the best thing for Lindsay.
Yeah.
Like, find someone else.
Yeah.
You did not treat Carl right. Whatever he lacked in your mind, you wanted to treat him like absolute shit and hurt him and hurt his feelings and make him cry and not apologize to him, make him come to you to apologize. Whatever the fuck was going on there with you, find someone else.
Yeah.
Find whatever the hell else. Find Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah.
If Carl is Mr. Hyde, find your Dr. Jekyll. I'd love
now
to see it.
I'm just remembering all the comments where people believed what Lindsay said they were like, classic male bullshit to find a woman who is strong and then resent her for being strong. And I'm like, she's not strong. She's a monster.
I mean,
she's like the most emotionally weak person I could imagine.
You go to the Hub House Reddit now and it just plays cricket noises.
It's closed. Closed the group.
It says closed for business.
There's caution tape.
I swear I went on.
Crime scene.
I tried to look. It's fully.
There's a body outline.
It's fully just yellow tape and it plays cricket noises. It's haunted there.
Tumbleweed
going on. You guys should all go to that Reddit. It's kind of weird. I've never seen Reddit do a lot of flash animations and stuff like that. Okay. Well, we went a little long. I'm going to cut one part out I'm going to cut a couple parts out, but I think it was valuable to talk about. Well, strike while the iron's hot, right?
I think so. Otherwise, next week's episode would have been like 5 hours.
Yeah. And I wanted to capture the ire, and the strong feelings. So we're going to post this almost immediately. This is going to be one of the first Turtle Times that comes out like an hour after.
Yeah. We got to get it hot off the press.
Yeah. So good. So do you feel good about, this conversation?
I think so. I feel like before I would have been a little more scared of people getting mad at me. And now everyone is so clear on what's happening that I don't have to be afraid.
No. We're on the right side of history, like I said.
Yeah.
There's no need to be afraid. Okay, good. All right, well, we're going to end this episode because this is an emergency episode.
Yeah.
This was breaking news. We're going to post this up, and then Amy and I have more work to do today, for our Villa Rosa VIPs and our little turtle cuties. We love you so much, and thank you so much for listening for this special episode.
Talk soon.
Bye. Oh, and watch out. It's the Ides of March today. So when you're listening to this, it's actually the Ides of March. So be careful while you're partying tonight on a Friday.
Be careful.
Be careful. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.